introduce a very dear friend of ours. He's no stranger to this house. We kicked Christmas off last year with Pastor Buddy Boyd, and this year he is kicking off Christmas with Jesus being born as King. Would you please welcome our dear friend, Pastor Buddy, this morning, and his wife, Jamie.
All right. Aren't you glad to be in the house of God? Amen. God is good to us. And I am thankful that you have a shepherd that protects you in all ways. Amen. Amen. God is good. How many of you are ready for Christmas? Completely ready. Raise your hand. I don't like any of you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We are done. We're done with Christmas already. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, that part of it. But this year we decided to take our family away. So, decided to make a memory and have an experience instead of gifts. So we took all of our kids and all of our grandkids, and we left right after Thanksgiving, and we went away, and it was a beautiful, beautiful time of just sharing and making memories together. And sometimes I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing just to change it up a little bit, and it might just become our new family tradition that we just get away, and that's how we participate in it. So, with you being ready, how many of you are not ready? How many have not thought about it yet? That's more my people usually. Christmas is the announcement that heaven came down to earth. It's that announcement. That, my friend, is not a tradition. It's not a feeling. It's not a concept. It's not a man's thought or man's thoughts of what religion should be. It's truth wrapped up in human form. Christmas is truth wrapped up in human form. Heaven came to earth in a person, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Amen. Jesus. Jesus Christ was born King. Born King. So, sorry, that's between me and Jamie. She makes fun of the way I talk quite often, and she will correct me a lot after I get done today. He's not a baby who became a king. He's a king who became a baby. That's Jesus Christ. That's what he did for us. A king who left the throne of heaven to step into the flesh, to step into a broken world, a world full of problems, so that he could bring the gift of eternal life to each one of us, the promise of it. He left glory, he left perfection, he left peace to give his life as a ransom. He wanted to ransom. He gave his life as a ransom for you, for your pain, for your problems, for your healing, for your peace. He gave his life for all of that. As king, Jesus didn't only come for a visit. He came to redeem mankind. He came to take up residence. He came up to rescue the lost, to restore the broken, and to reign forevermore. That's the Jesus that we serve this morning. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that tells me that he was king yesterday, that he's still king today, and he's going to be king tomorrow, and for all of eternity, Jesus Christ is going to be the king of our lives. He was born on purpose, for a purpose, and with a purpose. I believe each of us in the room were born in that same way, that God has us in a place that we are here for a purpose that he wants to work through our life. Born king means that he was born with all of authority. He's the ultimate gift to all of mankind. And we pick up our text today in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. It says this: Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the life that's within it. And Lord, we pray today, God, that you would anoint us to speak, God, that your word would connect with each heart in the room. And God, may we not be only hearers of the word today, but may your word transform our lives and help us draw ever closer to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Where is he who is born king? That was Herod's question. Kings at that time, kings today, kings are not born kings, they become kings. They grow into kings. But Jesus Christ was born king because he has always been. He's always been. He's been God from eternity. Charles Spurgeon said this about that day. He said, a stir begins as soon as Christ is born. He has not spoken a word. He has not wrought a miracle. He has not proclaimed a single doctrine. But when Jesus was born at the very first, while as yet you hear nothing but infant cries and can see nothing but infant weakness, still his influence upon the world is manifest. When Jesus was born, there was wise men from the east, and so on. There is infinite power even in an infant Savior, because that infant was born king, Jesus Christ. So why did Jesus come in the manner you begin to think, if he's the king and he could do anything he wants, why would he come in this manner? Why would this be the manner that God chose to reveal himself to mankind? Why would this be the way that he chose to come and walk among us? First, he came to identify with you and I. Jesus came in this manner so that he could identify with us, to give us a pattern, to become flesh. By becoming human, he experienced everything. He understands every human condition that you or I face or ever are going to face in our life, including the struggles of life, pain, loss, temptation. Jesus was tempted in all ways, but the Bible says, yet he was without sin, so he defeated all things. His identifying with us allows us, or allows him, to be our Savior. It allows him to bear our sin, offer us new identity. He gives us a brand new identity. Aren't you glad that he changed your name? Like, aren't you glad he changed who you are, your identity? He took me and brought me from a place of sin and sorrow and shame, and he set my feet on a rock and put it in a firm place of knowing him for all the days of my life. I'm thankful that he changed my identity. He changed who I was, and then he began to change what I do. That's him working out through my life, working his goodness through my life. I'm thankful that now I could be rooted in God's love, in God's righteousness, not in my human effort. How many of you know I fail all the time if I try to do it in my strength? But now I'm able to do it through the strength of the Holy Spirit working through me because of who Jesus is. He came to dwell among us. He came the way he did to dwell among us, to walk among us, because he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. John 1:14 says that the Word became flesh, the Word dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So why do you think he came to dwell among us? He came to dwell among us to break the curse of sin, to break it once and for all, to make sure that it was shattered. He came to show the kingdom of God, that it comes in humility. He humbled himself when he came to show us that the kingdom rises by humility. Jesus being born king is God letting us know also that he's not going to stay distant from our pain. He's not going to stay distant from our struggles or anything like that in life, that he's going to be right there with us through all things, and I am thankful for that. He was born king to come down to us so we don't have to try to climb up or work our way up to him. He came to us. He is the one who left the 99 to go after the one. Amen. He makes sure that we know who he is for us, and he's always there. Born king. Born king to walk among us. Heaven came to earth through his life, through who he was. And when you think about it, every single place during his years on the earth, there's 33 years, every single place that Jesus walked into, heaven showed up. It doesn't matter where he went, because he is heaven. He is God. Everywhere Jesus walked, heaven showed up. Everywhere he walked, the sick were healed, demons were cast out, sinners were forgiven, outcasts were welcomed, storms and the seas were stilled, problems were solved, The oppressed were set free. Come on, anybody been freed by him? The deaf could hear, the blind could see, the marginalized were offered or brought in. He did it all, because everywhere Christ went, a piece of heaven or heaven came in to that situation. John 14:9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." So when we see Jesus Christ, when we see him, the one born king, we see the Father. Jesus showed us who God is. He showed us what God is like. He showed us the grace and the truth of God for our lives for all of eternity. He was born king. Born king to bring heaven's culture into every situation that you or I walk through on the face of this earth. That's who he is. Born king in a manger, but he did not stay there. He went about bringing all of heaven to us. Because of that, and we're going to kind of pick up just a little bit of Herod here, because of that, the world hated him. And how many of you know the world hates what is right, and it loves what is wrong oftentimes? When I say world, that's society apart from God. Anytime you see world in the Bible, you see world, it's society. When you see that word world, it's society apart from God, apart from God's plans. And society hates what is right, but loves what is wrong. As we see this here, Herod, he was all about making sure that Jesus, the one born king, would be destroyed. The Bible says that wise men came, magi came. God gave them a special sign, a miraculous star that announced the birth of Christ, the birth of the king. The star led them to Jerusalem. It led them to where they needed to go, where God's prophets had told long ago that the king would be born there. He would be born in Bethlehem. They went there. They worshiped the child there. They went and found him. They worshiped him. We don't know exactly how many wise men there were, but from the gifts listed in verse 11 of Matthew chapter 2, we assume that there were three kings from the Orient. It's not certain, but there were three. But when their caravan arrived in Jerusalem, we do know that there was enough of them that it upset or it troubled the whole region. The whole area knew they were there. You got to keep in mind also that these men that showed up, these wise men that showed up at that time, they were Gentiles. And it shows us that from the very beginning, Jesus came to be the Savior of the whole world. He came to save all, not just the Jews. He came to save all. He's the Savior of the whole world. These men were wealthy. They were scholars. They were scientists in their own right when you look at it. And it shows us today that no scholarly person who follows the light of God's that God gives them can miss coming to worship at his feet. If you truly investigate Jesus Christ, if you dive into the Word of God and you begin to look through the Word of God and take a great study of it, you're going to find yourself caught up in worship at the feet of the one who gave his life for you. Amen. His Word is always going to bring life. It's always going to bring life to us. And through us, that's who he is. Paul lets us know that in Jesus Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's in Colossians chapter 2. So we find in our text today, and as you go through this story, the wise men were seeking the king. Herod was afraid of the king and wanted to destroy him. He didn't want Jesus to gain any traction. He wanted to wipe him out as fast as he could in that earliest parts of his life. This was Herod the Great. Herod the Great, he was called king by the Roman Senate at that time. There was a heavy influence in his life by Mark Antony, and all this was going on. When you think about Herod, Herod was a cruel, cruel man. King Herod was cruel. He was crafty. He permitted no one, not even his own family, to divert him off of his mission, which was he wanted to be king. He wanted to be the only king. He wanted to be, he would do anything he could to satisfy his evil desires. He was a ruthless murderer. He had his own wife and two of his brothers slain because he suspected them of treason. He was married, the Bible says at least nine, or history says at least nine times, in order to fulfill lust and strengthen his political ties. And he would marry and divorce and remarry just to gain more and more strength along the way. So it's no surprise that he wanted to kill Jesus. It's no surprise he wanted to wipe him out because he alone wanted to be king of the Jews. So we find again in our text, the wise men were seeking the king. Herod was opposing him, wanting him killed. We also find that the Jewish priests were pretty much ignoring him in that time. These priests knew the scriptures. They pointed others to the Savior, but they wouldn't go and worship him themselves. They would quote verses like Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but they didn't obey it. They didn't obey it at that time. They were 5 miles, most of history shows, they were 5 miles from the very Son of God, but they didn't go see him. They didn't go. The wise men came from afar. These guys were right there. These were the religious leaders of that day, and yet they did not go and worship the king. They did not go and worship him at his birth. The Gentiles sought him. They found him. They found him in that early moment, but the Jews did not. And it got me to thinking about our lives, that we are here, we grow up, we come up in the church, we're in the church. I want to make sure there are times when those who have great privilege don't spend enough time at the feet of Jesus worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sometimes if we're not careful, we forget about it ourselves and our busyness and the hustle of everything that we're doing in life, that we are called, first of all, to give worship and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was born king. Born king to give his life, again, as a ransom for us, to give his life up for us. We all have the opportunity today to experience heaven, to get a piece of heaven in our life, because heaven came to earth in the form of Christ and his sacrifice. You know, I look around and you see the manger scenes of it everywhere. I've seen pictures out in people's yards. I've seen nativity set up and I've seen things all the way down here. We see it everywhere this time of year. And the manger has always pointed to the cross. It's always pointed to the cross and to the resurrection of Christ. The one born king humbled himself to go to the cross for us. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So why would one who was born king die in the way or the manner that Jesus did? Why would one who was born king that could do anything, that has power over all things, why would he die in the manner he did? It's just a way to take our sin. It was a way to reverse the curse. It's the way to defeat the grave, to open heaven up to us, to bring salvation to all who would call upon his name. For whosoever shall call on his name shall be saved. It's for all those. He was born king to touch earth so that earth and all of us could touch heaven. It's who he is. So that we could be reconciled back to him. And he was born king. Born king so that he could continue to save. It's not something that's going to go away. It's not something that's going to stop. It's not something that's going to come in. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He's always going to be. He always was. He's always is. And he's always going to be. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. He's not a once and done king. Heaven continues to come to earth through salvation again and again and again. Every time somebody gives their heart to Jesus Christ, we see another piece of his sacrifice coming to fruition, or heaven coming to earth through the one being saved. The story of Jesus being born again isn't just a history lesson for us at Christmas time. It's an ongoing invitation for us to come to Christ again, again, and again, and again. It's over and over and over. He is the King. Jesus Christ is the King who still saves sinners, the one who still heals the brokenhearted, the one who binds up every wound that we have. He is the one born to lift up the weariest of hearts. He's going to lift your heart. He's going to comfort the mourning. He's going to fill the driest of spirits with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And because of that, because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we don't have a far off king. We have a very close king. We have a present, saving, victorious, reigning king that spends his life for us. You know, we live in a world, and we heard by, you know, I've had to give a few public, get up and make some public statements before, and we've had some of that in our ministry. And in a world where evil at times seems to be getting the upper hand, we have an assurance that the kingdom of God is still advancing. The kingdom of God is advancing heart by heart, person by person. It's open. Everybody that opens up to his saving grace, the kingdom expands one more. It takes one more. It takes a little more ground every time somebody gives their heart to Jesus. Whenever I get a chance to speak out, and every Sunday pretty much I say this little girl's name, and I made a promise to her family. I asked you guys to have a picture of Scarlett. And I think I showed a picture of her the last time I was here. Jesus was born king so that of all of us could be filled with expectation, so that we could live lives full of confidence. He was born king so little girls like Miss Scarlett have the assurance that Jesus Christ is near. And I picked the last picture I had in my phone. I get a picture lots of evenings, right when they put her to bed. We say a prayer, they put her to bed. And I get pictures a lot. That was from a day or so ago where they sent a picture of her. I love the Jesus beside her. That's pretty awesome. But she's growing leaps and bounds in her healing. I made a promise to the family that I would keep her name in front of people. And it's not hard to do with Scarlett, I think. Half the world's praying for the little girl. But Jesus was born king, so little girls have the assurance that he's near, that he strengthens, that he heals. Born king so parents can have peace in the midst of chaos. Of a nighttime when we pray, I pray the peace of God over them. Because Jesus was born king to bring all that heaven has. Like everything we need to live successful, everything we need to live victorious, everything we need to live at peace is ours to have. We just have to walk in it. We just have to accept it, ask for it. So he was born king, so that no matter what is going on around us or being said about us, we have the peace of God. Thank you for that picture. He's also born king, soon to return. You'll hit that in full next week as you learn about him still being king. Revelation 19:16 says, on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one born in a manger is a king who sits on a throne. The first time Jesus came, it was in humility. The next time he comes, it will be in glory. Amen? The one born king is the one coming back, King of Kings. And as I thought about who he is and sometimes the way the world paints him, I want you to understand this morning, Jesus didn't come to improve us. He didn't come to make our living conditions better. He came to save us. Amen? He didn't come to just improve my life. He came to save my life. He didn't come to decorate the world. He came to deliver it. He's our deliverer. He was born king so that you and I could be born again. Born again. Jesus still brings heaven to earth, and he does it one life at a time. On the way down here, as we were coming, and I'd been thinking about this man a little bit in the last few days, and he'd come on my mind. On the way down here, as we were driving, we came 14 and NCC, and kind of curvy. It's kind of like you could be a race car driver a little bit on your way to church. I like it. so it's fun. Jamie, not so much, but I liked it. She did ask me if she, I wanted her to drive partway down so I could study, I think. But I think she was scared. I'm not sure. Not sure. But as we were coming down, we went by a dirt road, and I looked, and there's a cemetery up that dirt road. And when we went by it, it's about a mile and a half, 2 miles up that dirt road. And when we went by, I kind of chuckled, and I asked Jamie, I said, you remember when I led the funeral procession out of Ava, the one time that I led? So there was one funeral, and I've done a lot of funerals. So if you're in ministry very long, so you do lots. I've done, well, a few years ago, it was over 300, so lots of funerals. And so one time, the funeral home in Ava, the lady that runs it, her name is Florence, and she's like the queen, and everybody does what Florence, she said, buddy, would you like to lead the procession out to the cemetery today? Because I always either ride in the hearse or I follow it. And I was in my pickup, and I said, I would love to. So it was about, I don't know, 8 or 10 miles out of town. And as I was driving down through there, do you ever get something on your mind? And the next thing you know, you were like, I think I missed my turn. On 14 Highway with a whole procession of cars behind me. And about the time I thought of it, I was going up this hill, and I could see in the mirror, and I seen that Florence was, she was actually driving the hearse. And I see that she didn't miss the turn, and she turned off. And I had to go way up the road and turn around, come back. And so so they're all out of their cars. They're in the cemetery, and I come doing the walk of shame. And this man's boys were there, which they were probably in their 60s at that time. And they all just, they loved it. They were like, there's our leader. This gentleman's name was Buster. Buster Potter. Everybody in town knew Buster. Buster was a horse trader, knife trader, really is what he was. He traded knives. Matter of fact, when I preached his funeral, I stuck my pocket knife inside of his bib overalls that he had on, his overalls, because he had been trying to trade me out of it for the last few months, and I was refusing to let him have it, but at the end, it went with him. But everybody knew him, and he was a funny old man, one of a kind, set in his ways, really, really rough around the edges, like really rough. Sometimes the rougher they are, the more I want to be around them. I knew him, but I really got to know him in the nursing home. He got sick. Life had kind of really come hard on him. He was passing away slowly in the nursing home, slowed him down. And as it slowed him down, Buster got more cantankerous. A lot more cantankerous, a lot harder, a lot hatefuler. And as he was nearing the end of his life, I'd stop in several times a week, just go down and visit with him, check on him, attempt to lead old Buster to the Lord. And there was a lot of us trying to lead Buster to the Lord, but he wasn't having nothing to do with it, for real. He would visit with you all the way when you started talking about the Lord. He was kind of done with you, and he'd just kind of be done in that moment. He appreciated each visit. He just didn't want much to do with Jesus. Grouchy, mouthy, in pain. And every time I'd leave, I'd think, and without hope. And I love that old man. So I'd go back. And so he figured out when I'd come back, he would ask for things. And he'd say, have you been turkey hunting? Have you been, which I'm an outdoorsman, he's like, you've been turkey hunting, you've been fishing, have you been picking morel mushrooms, have you been deer hunting, whatever it was. And I was like, yeah, I killed a deer. He's like, well, bring me some backstrap. I was like, well, Buster, you got dietary restrictions. You can't have any of this stuff. He's like, just bring it. Bring me some fried morel mushrooms. So I asked the nurses, and they were like, Buster can't have that stuff. And I was like, you also said that Buster's at the end of his life. They're like, yeah. So I started sneaking him some stuff in. I did. I'm guilty. I'd sneak him in some mushrooms and fry them all up and take them in there, and he'd eat them. And I'd say, now I got to get rid of the evidence. And I'd say, can I pray for you today? And he'd go, maybe next time. Bring me this. And so it went on, and one day I walked into the room, and Buster had just, he was just really, it was getting close. We had a good talk, and just a few days before his passing, and in that moment, I gave him something. I think it was fish, fried fish that he wanted. And he opened up, and we prayed together. And it was a beautiful moment. He gave his heart to the Lord, the one who was born king filled that room that day, and Buster Potter was born again in a beautiful way. And so I left there, and as I was leaving, I was floating, like my feet, I don't think my feet were touching the floor. Like, I was so excited that Buster Potter got, I was just ecstatic going out. And I ran into this nurse, one of the ones taking care of him, and she was like, man, you're happy? And I was like, Buster just got saved. And she goes, yeah, right. I was like, I'm not kidding. It was amazing. He just got saved. And she was like, there's no way. Just kind of like that, real aggravated, just like, no way. She's like, he's been letting me have it all day. I was like, just go check. Go check. He just got saved. Just now. Go check. So she took off down through there, and I was walking out, and I was like, wait a minute. So I ran back down, and she was just getting ready to turn the room, and I said, be nice to him. Don't go in there and be nice. And so as I got down the hall, by the time I got there, she was standing by his bed, and they were both crying. Buster just lived a few days, but he was different, because the one born king came into his heart, and he was born again. Man, we're here for one thing. We're here to talk about the one born king. And we're to share him everywhere we go. And I thought today, as I drove on past that, and I chuckled when I went past, like I said, I've led one funeral procession, one. I'll never lead another one in Ava. Maybe somewhere else they'll let me have another chance. But they will not let me redeem myself there. But as I drove on down here and we was hitting the corners, I thought, have I let all the hard stuff? Your pastor had to make a public statement, and I had to step out 5 minutes before I preached and take a phone call that was not fun to take. Have I let some of the hard stuff and the daily mess of things, have I let it slow me down and tell them the Busters that there was one born king that came to change your every day and set your eternity? So let's not forget that our job is to talk about the one born king that makes sure that we could all be born again. Amen? Amen. I blew plumb past the worship team. Are they in here? Come on, Jerry. I didn't know you could sing, brother. I'll get my phone and everything, bro. Would you stand with me? I guarantee you there's some Buster Potters and there's some Scarlets. There's some families that need you this year. Amen? They're all around you. So don't get so caught up in everything else that we forget that we're to be helping others be born again. That's who he is. Father, we love you today. And Lord, we thank you, God, for loving us. We thank you for who you are. God, we thank you, God, that you looked and you saw what needed to happen. You looked and you saw that we were helpless, that we were hopeless without you, that you were the only one who could paid the price to redeem us, to ransom us, to give us the opportunity for eternal life. So, Lord, you decided as King to be born, to come and live a life in the flesh, to give us an example, and to identify with us. So that when our time came, like Buster's did in that room, that we would choose to put our trust in you and follow you. Lord, during this month, we pray, God, that we would stop and that we would just remember, as everything points to you being born, the birth of Christ. Lord, as we stop and think about you being born King, may we remember. May we remember that you came to save us and to set our feet on a path of sharing you everywhere we go. Lord, may we not grow bitter. May we not grow weak. May we not back down. May we not shut up. Lord, may we continue to walk after you because you chased after us. We love you. We thank you that you were born King so we can be born again. Drive that truth in our heart today. Lord, may we be a people who are about your business this month. Lord, there's names on a tree outside that need to be taken down, gifts that need to be purchased. But God, even more so, there's words that need to be shared, hugs that need to be made, food that needs to be cooked, maybe snuck in, so that someone can find you. Lord, let us be about your business. Lord, we love you. Love you. Morning, I'm just going to ask you to step out from where you're at and come to the front, and we're just going to pray. Just take a moment as they sing and lead us in worship. Just begin to step out and find you a place, and we're just going to pray. We're going to pray for opportunities in front of us. One thing, I'm going to ask you to pray for Scarlett and her family during this season. But just come find you a place, and let's pray for God to fill us passion to step into the opportunities he provides for us in this next month. How many of you believe he wants to give us opportunity this month? Amen. Let's find a place up here and let's pray. Will you do that with me? Count to three. Let's just go. One, two, three. Come on. Let's get an altar. Here we go.